Hello, everyone. I'm Jamie Flinchball, host of People Solve Problems. And today, as a guest, we have a longtime friend of mine, Cheryl Stokes. Cheryl, good to see you.
Good to see you too, Jamie.
Great. Well, welcome. Just as a bit of introduction, Cheryl is the CEO of CNext, is a prominent figure in corporate education and inclusion with extensive experience in leadership development, culture change, DEIB, and having significantly contributed previous to her current role at Heidrick & Struggles and Duke Corporate Education. So you've had a lot of different roles on the path to your current one. So great history and also, you know, a thought leader in the topics we're gonna jump into. So you know, being a problem solving podcast, we're gonna get to problem solving, but I want to start with just inclusion as a topic. And while it has a definition, everyone sort of defines it a little differently. So, you know, how do you define inclusion?
Yeah, thank you for that question, Jamie, because people do define it differently. For me, inclusion is the act of intentionally creating an environment that allows all parties to productively contribute. So it's, you know, it's more than just bringing people together in the room, because you and I have been there, right? You could be in a room with six or seven people, but still only two people talk. So you have not, that's not inclusion, just because you got six people in the room. Inclusion is intentional.
Yeah, and I think that intentional is an important word on a lot of things, right? There's some things, a lot of, you know, a broken clock is right twice a day. There's a lot of things that turn out okay. But the intentionality, the deliberateness of it, I think matters a whole lot. And I'll just share just around inclusion. You know, one of the light bulbs for me was quite a while ago, General Lester Lyles, who's a retired Air Force general and former chair of USAA. He said, and it's a nice saying, but he said, diversity without inclusion is an illusion. And besides it sounding good, it really sort of triggers you to think about, you know, how people experience diversity, right? And the connection between them. So that intentionality is a great thing. So you spent a lot of time on leadership as a broad topic, as a teacher, as an educator, as a mentor. And so you have a term, inclusive leadership. How did define that for us? Describe that for us.
Yeah, absolutely. But I'm actually going to take a point of privilege and build on something you just said that the general said, because a lot of people think about diversity and inclusion hand in hand. And absolutely. I will say to you, and being a fellow engineer, you'll appreciate this. It's a little bit of an equation. So diversity is a fact. We all are diverse. Everybody has a diversity story, right? No two people are alike. It's really the aspects of your identity that make you unique are part of your diversity story. So if diversity is a fact, inclusion is an act. So that's why I said it's the act of being intentional and creating that environment. The outcome of diversity and inclusion gets you belonging. So you create a culture and an environment where people feel that sense of belonging. And really what we all want out of it, ultimately, when you think of it in the context of people in an organization, is you want engagement. So that sense of belonging drives engagement. And you know, there's tons of data that correlates a more engaged workforce leading to less sick days, higher productivity, less turnover, all the things that create a productive place. So just wanted to frame the idea of diversity and inclusion and why that's so important for us as business, because we need to unleash the potential in all of our talent. And it takes inclusive leaders to do that. So now to your question of what's an inclusive leader? So an inclusive leader is someone who actually can create that context of inclusion that I mentioned earlier. But there are signature traits of inclusive leaders. So some things that inclusive leaders do better perhaps than others. And this is not original research from me. I know in the past, Deloitte has written about this. There's some academics, Bork and Titus, who've written about this. We've sort of adapted it because it it resonates with what we believe about great leadership. First of all, inclusive leaders are humble. So you know that you don't know everything. Mm-hmm. And as leaders, we should know. We can't know everything, right? There's just too much happening in the world. So it takes a sense of humility to be an inclusive leader. And we're very self-aware as an inclusive leader, even to the extent of being aware of the biases or the lenses that we bring to situations. So an inclusive leader is humble, aware of their own mental models, biases, frameworks that they bring. And, you know, I use the word bias and people immediately think negative, but let's be realistic. As human beings, our brains have to make judgments about things because there's so much data in the world. And so you have to have a framework where bias becomes a negative thing is when you can't see the reality of what's happening. You only see what you believe to be true. So an inclusive leader is aware that, you know, you may have biases, just ways that you perceive things to happen in the world. And you're always on the lookout to be sure that you're not seeing something that's not there or that isn't appropriate for the context or that doesn't match the data, if you will. A trait that I love of inclusive leaders is that they're curious. You have a curiosity, particularly about others. Just yesterday, I was with a gene therapy company. They're based in the UK, but they've got a US population. I was in New York. And for Black History Month, they asked me to speak. And they were asking, what could individuals do to create just day-to-day, create a more inclusive environment? And I said, the first thing is to exercise your curiosity about others. Understand people as individuals, not as labels. You know, I think of an identity as there's an iceberg and what you see, you know, is above the waterline, but there's a whole lot more about every individual that's below the water. I mean, that's what makes us all unique. And if you can activate your curiosity about others, then, you know, as people, we like to talk about ourselves. And so you're automatically being more inclusive when you can draw on that conversation. Inclusive leaders have cultural intelligence or a cultural competence. So you're aware that your environment and context is not what everyone may have experienced. I certainly have always personally been aware of that, just curious about different cultures. I've been very fortunate to work and travel globally, very fortunate to live in the UK with my family. And I know that there are so many cultural nuances within a country, within a city, within different demographic groups. There are still so many cultural nuances. So inclusive leaders are aware of the impact of culture, the differences that might exist, or if they don't understand, they get curious about it to try to understand. Where the rubber meets the road, inclusive leaders are able to effectively collaborate and set an environment where effective collaboration happens. Mm-hmm. And then finally, they're visibly committed. So genuinely, authentically, publicly committed to all the things that I just talked about, to being inclusive as a leader, to creating this context where everyone has the opportunity to positively contribute. So that was a lot.
Yep.
But I do think it's one of those things that, as you said, you know, you don't just throw five people in a room and get effective teamwork. It actually takes some work,
right?
And some skill.
Yep. Yeah, and you know, I love, you know, just tying that word visibly back to what you started with, which is that it's an act. Yeah, I've always preferred the word leading over leader, because leader is a noun. It's a title, but it doesn't do anything, right? Leading is an act, and anyone can have an act of leadership, even if they aren't the noun leader. But the point of being an act, right, that goes back to that visibly. There's plenty of, you might, everyone knows I'm committed. Well, what's the demonstrated effort of that, right?
Exactly.
You know, a lot of different versions of that, but you know, even for entrepreneurs, I'd always say, like, you know, if you have $2 in your pocket, I want to know that $1 is in this business, because at least it shows that act of commitment.
Exactly.
So it's a great framework. And some of that, you know, directly overlaps, you know, curiosity alone directly overlaps with what behaviors we want to see in problem solving. But you know, most problem solving, especially hard problems, strategic problems, complex problems, are a team environment. There, you take more than one person to get there. So how does inclusive leadership enable, fit into, work through, make better? How does it fit with problem solving efforts?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. And you've already alluded to it. There's a lot of overlap, because I believe it requires effective problem solving requires inclusive leadership. So if you get, if you're leading a business, or if you're leading an area, or if you're just part of a team and you're trying to solve a problem, you actually need to be sure that that team has the environment where everyone can positively contribute. I'll tell you a story. This will, I'll try not to go too far off the tangent, but I think this might resonate. So, you know, I'm in the leadership development business, right? But of course, you and I share a background: undergrad engineer, graduate engineering degree, graduate master's degree. I went to a conference some years ago of learning designers, and they were doing a team building thing. And they gave us a challenge at a table of eight. And they're like, all right, you eight people come together and figure out how to make this ball, everyone to touch the ball in the shortest amount of time. It's like a little contest. And so, you know, the engineer in me, immediately, I'm like, gravity, right? So I shout out, gravity, guys, we're going to use gravity. Totally ignored. The team were just talking to each other and they were figuring out. And I'm like, hey, guys, and I kept trying to get my voice in there and no one would listen. And I have to admit, it kind of ticked me off. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm pretty sure I'm probably the only engineer in this group that actually has the answer, at least the foundation for what we could try. And nobody was listening. And finally, someone sort of mocked me to say, oh, who even knows like how we would use gravity and what is it? I'm like, well, it's -9.8 meters per second squared. We just had to get technical about it. And, you know, there was a whole triggering that happened for me. But what I realized, it was the most uninclusive environment that I had been in. And I was personally frustrated, because here we, you know, this was a conference of learning designers. And we're supposed to figure out how to help people learn together. And we can't even in a simple team building thing create an inclusive environment.
Yeah. And that is, there's a lot of areas where people are better at helping others behave a certain way than applying it to themselves. That's why we all need someone in our corner, whether it's a coach or a leader, to help us be our best selves, because it doesn't always come natural.
Yeah, exactly. And so in the instance of problem solving, while we may all genuinely care about the problem, want to solve the problem, think that we are inclusive, it actually requires some attention and intentionality to the process and the people in the room to ensure that all voices are being heard, that there's space made, not just for the loudest voice or the one considered the expert or the one with the most seniority. But that's why I really like the different methodologies, like, you know, lateral thinking and putting on the different de Bono hats or whatever it might be, because it stops us from necessarily falling into routines of groupthink, which, you know, can lead you to unsuccessful problem solving or for putting the same kinds of solutions against a problem.
Right.
Versus really opening up and having ideas that might be innovative ways or different ways to solve the problem.
Yep. So let's talk about this a little sort of practically in the experience of working on hard, messy problems. So there's some practices, like if you want to do brainstorming, you know, more of a facilitated problem solving, mm-hmm. we kind of know, hey, get everybody to write down post-its. It's more inclusive of introverts in the group. And also helps avoid groupthink, as you just brought up. So that's sort of a specific practical, you know, tool to help create more inclusiveness in the process. So is the goal to simply be a more inclusive leader while in a problem-solving environment, or are there ways that people can demonstrate acts of inclusive leadership without necessarily having mastered what that looks like?
Oh, absolutely. I believe leadership itself is a practice. And what does it mean when we practice something? It means try again. We're trying to get better. We are having feedback where we can do things differently. So, you know, I tend to think of leadership itself as a journey, and we're always growing as leaders and should have that sort of growth mindset from that perspective. Inclusive leadership is a practice. We'll mess up, right? There will be times where even though I know I'm self-aware and I know that I have this bias, that bias is going to come out and I'm going to drive us to do what I think is the right thing because that's the way it's worked for me 12 times before. But that humility causes me, when someone calls me on it or when I become aware of it, it will cause me to pause and stop and say, I'm sorry, I drove us down this path and didn't consider, you know, a different path that maybe Jamie offered. Let's go back. Let's look at it again. So yeah, I absolutely know that on our best days, we practice all these things with, you know, great mastery. But on our normal days, which is probably, you know, 99% of the time, we're just going to not do things in the way that would be quote unquote perfect. But one of my former colleagues used to say, perfect is the enemy of progress. So if you wait to be perfect, you'll never do anything or get anywhere.
You know, so we talk about practice. I think practice is a great analogy for a lot of things that we have to master, with the idea that mastery is not achievable, perfection is not achievable. One of the keys, so I'm curious about your advice on this, but one of the keys to practice is the feedback loop.
Yes. Right?
And so if you're on the golf driving range, right, and you never look up, you just keep swinging the club. If you don't realize that you've hit your partner on the tee, you know, a couple doors down, you'll never realize you're actually not doing a good job at that, right? So you need to see where the ball goes so you can fine tune and adjust. Feedback loops on all sorts of leadership, but I'd imagine especially inclusive leadership is quite the challenge. So what advice do you have for people to amplify or trigger or turn on the feedback loop that helps them practice inclusive leadership more effectively?
That's a great question. I would say, as with many things, go with formal feedback and informal feedback. I was sharing with the group yesterday that relationships are so important. Having people who are empowered enough, and if you're a leader, positional leader, someone who's not afraid of your authority to actually give you real feedback is absolutely a gift. It's one of the things, you know, you've been here, I'm here, I'm a CEO, right? I recognize that even though I believe I'm totally approachable and open, people who work in my organization, especially those who may be more junior, may be hesitant to offer feedback. And so the onus is on me to open the door and make sure that people understand I absolutely do want the feedback, to have the mechanism for getting that feedback, whether it's a direct conversation with that individual, whether it's anonymous feedback. So informally, what I personally try to do is, number one, ensure that I've got and relationship and trust and goodwill built with individuals so that they will offer me the feedback, but also make a practice of asking, to say, all right, so we've gone through this and this is what I think, but have I missed anything? Is there something I could have done differently? That shows that you're open to that. And again, that ties back to the humility, because
right,
ask people, they actually will tell you. And then do you want to hear it? Are you ready to hear it?
Yeah.
So.
No, I was just gonna tie it back to being humble, because that was what you led with on inclusive leadership. And even just the idea of asking somebody to be part of your feedback loop requires some humility, because you're basically saying, hey, I don't have this thing wired. It reminds me, I don't know why this scene came to mind. There's a scene in the movie Glory, which goes back a little ways, where Matthew Broderick realizes he has no clue what he's doing, and he goes to Morgan Freeman. I don't remember all the characters' names. I'm surprised I remember the actors' names, but and basically says, I know you're just a private, but I need to talk to you to get feedback about what I'm missing. That's not the words he used, but that was the intent of the scene. And he realized he was so blind they needed boots, right? That's what they need more than anything right now. So,
Well, and to the story and the point that we were talking about, so I said informal and formal. Formal feedback, certainly you can do surveys, you can do a 360, but many organizations have this reverse mentoring process. I'm a big fan of it. So to formally connect with someone more junior than you, and in a reverse mentoring relationship, where maybe you're mentoring them, but they're mentoring you.
yep.
And when you set the ground rules up front that, hey, we're mentoring each other, that opens a door for feedback in a way that, you might not receive it if you hadn't made that a condition of the environment.
Yeah, excellent. So great practical advice. So you made clear we can't do good problem solving. I always like to say problem solving is a team sport. We can't do good team-based problem solving without inclusive leadership. That's required. And you've helped us frame that, as well as practical advice on how to practice it and improve in the process. So thanks for sharing your experience and wisdom, Cheryl.
Absolutely. My pleasure, Jamie. Thanks for asking and appreciate the conversation.
Thanks for listening to the People Solve Problems podcast. Let's keep the conversation going. Visit jflinch.com for more episodes and other content. And continue to join us on your podcast app, of course. We greatly appreciate your feedback through reviews and ratings. Consider expanding your understanding of problem solving with Jamie's book, People Solve Problems: The Power of Every Person, Every Day, Every Problem, available on Amazon. Until next time, keep learning, innovating, and solving problems.